All right, Rabbi, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Mem Dalid. We are picking up Baruch Hashem on Mem Dalid on Rafa. We're going to pick up at the two dots, which is 44A, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines down from the top, the two dots. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Baruch Fischel and Sonia Kozlovsky in honor of the wedding of their daughter, Penina Kozlovsky, Penina Rivka, Bas Baruch Fischel, to Yoi Schacht, Yosef Mordechai Ben David, son of Phyllis and David Schacht of Sharon, Massachusetts. We wish the Kozlovskys an incredible mazel tov. They should be zochem Meretz Hashem to walk their daughter down to the chuppah b'shal tova u'mitzlachas. Mazel tov, mazel tov. All right, we'll say, let's begin. So thank you to Yehuda for giving the shir yesterday, and for the Daf Yomi, the extra explanation on the WhatsApp group, which I'm sure all of you read with incredible diligence. That might have been a Daf Yomi first. Hashem. Okay, good. So the Gemara says as follows. So we'll say the Mishnah said, "Kol sheyesh lo matirin bein la'adam bein la'mizbeach, hayavin alav mishum pigol." That ultimately, again, anything that has a matir, anything that we translate. Yeah, maybe just. It's a little one. So anything that has a matir, anything that has what we call a permitter, being the adam, whether for human consumption, for mizbeach consumption, chayav na lav mishum pigul. Ultimately, again, one is subject or one is chayiv, I should say differently, has the ability to become pigul. So says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanon, O eino maybe, so the Gemara says, O eino maybe, elik yotzi bishlamin. Sibol say, we've seen this concept before, thank you, that halacha lemaisa, the concept of pigul, is brought down in the context of shlamim. So maybe halacha lemaisa, the only time that there's an issue of pigul is in a situation of shlamim. In other words, who's to say that the concept of pigul could be applied anywhere past shlamim? Maybe since it's written in the context of shlamim, thank you, that is halacha lemaisa where it applies. So the Gemara says, "Mash shlamim miyuchadim ne'achon l'shnei yomim v'layla'achon." So what's unique about shlamim? So we'll say shlamim has the ability to be consumed for 2 days in one night. So maybe halacha lemaisa, the laws of pigul only apply to shlamim or anything that is shlamim-like. What makes it shlamim-like? I.e. anything that could be consumed for 2 days in one night. But anything that does not fit that bill, that does not fit that criteria, perhaps again halacha lemaisa would not be subject to the laws of pigul. Ne'achol liyom v'layla minay. And we'll say, how do I know that halachos of pigul apply even to a karban, which is only consumed for 1 day and one night? Talmud lomar, mi basar. Therefore, we'll say, the pasuk says, mi basar, a generic statement, or I should say, mi besar. Vim he'achol ya'acham mi besar. Kol sheshirayin ne'acholin. Ultimately, again, anything of Osai that has something which is consumed, literally any carbon whose leftovers are consumed. And we spoke about, again, consumption. So consumption is whether it's consumed by man, consumed by the mizbeach, anything that has something that is consumed, ultimately is subject to pigul. I ola shein shirayim ne'achol minayin. Rabbi, say, what about ola, which again, it doesn't have any type of human shirayim, right? It doesn't have any type of leftovers that are consumed by a person. From where do we know ultimately, again, that that is also subject to the laws of pigul? So the Gemara says, Talmud lomar zevach. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk uses the word zevach. Zevach just means carbon, which tells me any carbon is subject to the laws of pigul. I says the minayim the rabos haofos v'haminachos. Bless you. How do I know that it even applies to what? Ofos, bird offerings, mincha offerings, ad sha'ani marbe luk shemen shamut sora. To the point, Rabbi said that even the luk shemen, even the lug of oil, ultimately, again, of the mitzora, is also subject to the laws of pigul. So we'll say again, ad lug shemen means, remember, lug shemen of mitzora is the oil that's applied to the mitzora himself, that is also part of the mizbeach. So again, how do I know that pigul also applies to that? Talmud lomar, asherhim makdishim li. Because the Bible said, Lashon of the Pasuk is, asherhim makdishim li. Pretty much anything and everything that is consecrated in the service of the Ribono Shel Olam as somehow part of sacrificial service will be subject to the laws of pigul. That includes everything, including the lukshemen of the Metzora. Va'asi nosar, chilul chilul mituma. And also we learned that the laws of nosar apply to all of these items as well, based on the gzer shavav chilul chilul from tuma. Va'asi pigul, And we learn that the laws of Pigel also ultimately apply from Avon, Avon, Minosar. So we'll say Pigel, the Gemara just points out, we could also learn how it applies to all of these things. How? Through a Gzer Shava of Avon, Avon, to Nosar. Umeachar Shesofa, the Rabbos called Davar. So we'll say, so bottom line, what have we just seen? That the laws of Pigel apply to pretty much everything. If that's the case, then Lama Ne'amar Shlomim, Ne'ata. So we'll say, the Shaila then becomes, if indeed the laws of Pigel really do apply to everything, as we've just learned out, so why does the Torah dafka state it in the context of Shlomim? Why state it? Why bring it down in a way that seemingly only applies this halacha to one specific karbanic context, when in fact, you know, that's not the case, and it applies to all of these other situations? Lomar halacha, to teach me, mashlamim miyuchadim, sheyesh lahen matirin, bein la'adam, bein la'mizbeach, both said to teach me as follows. That just as Shlomim is unique in that what? It has matirin. It has what we call the permitters, which we've been speaking about the number of last stop in. Bein la'adam, bein la'mizbeach. Both said it has things that permit it for consumption, ultimately again, bein la'adam, bein la'mizbeach, either for human consumption or ultimately again for the mizbeach. Af kol sheyesh la'matirin, bein la'adam, bein la'mizbeach, chayav and alei mishum pigel. So both say halacha l'maisi, the Gemara says, that ultimately, again, stating the laws of Pigel in the context of Shlamim teaches me an important halacha, that in order to be subject to the laws of Pigel, so the particular carbonic process must have a matir, must have some type of permitter. We've spoken about this a number of times, whether that matir, whether that permitter ultimately is for the Mizbeach, whether that permitter ultimately is La'adam, it has to have some type of matir. Good. Ha'ola. So we'll say now we're going to go through the list of the different matirim. So for an ola, gama matir es besara lemizbeach, va'ora lekanim. So we'll say ultimately again, for the ola, so it is the blood applications, the hazos, which are matir, which is the permitter ultimately again, to offer up the basar on the mizbeach, and is also the permitter to allow for the hides for the kohanim. Ola sa'uf. We'll say, what about the ola of the bird offering? So, dama matir es bisar la mizbeach. So, we'll say, again, the blood application allows the flesh to be consumed on the mizbeach. Chatas ha'of, we'll say, the bird chatas, dama matir es bisar la karnim. So, its blood applications ultimately allow for the consumption of the meat by the kohanim. Parim ha'nisrafim usi'irim ha'nisrafim. So we'll say again, the par ha'nisrafim, the usi'irim ha'nisrafim, damam matir es emureihem likarev. Their blood application ultimately, again, allows for the limbs to be burned on the mizbeach. So we'll say again, these are, remember, just follow the progression here. What we've established is as follows. Even though the laws of Pigel are stated in the context of Shlamim, we've established both through Alimur as well as to Gzir Shava, that halacha lemaisa, the laws of Pigel apply to everything. So why was it stated in the context of Shlamim? They say that just like Shlamim has a matir, has something that permits it, so to again, in order for a particular karbanic process to be subject to the laws of Pigel, there must be a matir. Whether that matir is the permitter for the item to be burned on the Mizbeach, or the matir for human consumption, only if you have a matir, are you subject to the laws of Pigel? The Gemara then just went on to go ahead and discuss the matirim for these particular types of karbanos. Umot sa'ani es ha-kometz ve'es ha-lavona va'kitores u'minchas kohanim u'minchas koimash. So we'll say, now the Gemara says, and I exclude from this list the kometz. Right, the comments of Bosa, I remember again, refers to the kmitz of the kohen, the three fingerfuls of the flour from the karban mincha, and the levona, the frankincense, vaktores and the ketores, uminchas kohanim, the mincha of the kohanim, uminchas kohen mashiach, the mincha of the anointed kohen, uminchas nisochim, vahadam. Bosa, now all of these things ultimately again are excluded from Pigel. Why? Because for most of them, they themselves are the matir. They themselves are the matir itself, therefore again are subject to the laws of Pigel. Reb Shimon, we'll say first wide line, Mdalar Madalef. Reb Shimon Omer, Mashlamim Miyuchadin, Sheyesh Po Amizbeach Hachitzon, V'chayav Analav. So Reb Shimon says, just like Shlamim is unique in that while Sheyesh Po Amizbeach Hachitzon, V'chayav Analav, Shlamim, we'll say, has an aspect of its sacrificial service that happens on the outer Mizbeach, V'chayav Analav, and it is subject to the laws of Pigel. Af kol sheyesh ben amizbeach achitzon Chayavin halav mishum pigel. So also, Reb Shimon has an interesting limud. Reb Shimon understands the fact that shlamim is the source for the halachos of pigel tells me that what? You see, well, see, up until now we were saying, what's unique about shlamim? Shlamim has a matir. It has a matir. Now, by shlamim, shlamim is unique because it has a matir what? It has a matir for the mizbeach, for part to be burned on the mizbeach, and a matir for achila, for the kohanim, also for the owner. So too we learn, only things that have a matir are subject to the laws of pigel. Reb Shimon comes along and says something a little bit different, or says something additional. He says shlamim is unique in that what? In that it has an aspect of its sacrificial service. Ultimately, again, I should say, the shlamim are offered up on the mizbeach achitzon. So too, again, halacha lemaisa, any carbon that is offered up on the mizbeach achitzon, ultimately, again, one is chayiv for pigel for. So the Gemara says, Yatsu parim, we'll say third wide line, mem dalar medalef, or second wide line, actually. Af kol shi yishlam zveach achitzon, chayinav l'mishun pigel. So the Rebbe will say, any carbon whose part of its sacrificial service is done on the outer mizbeach is chayiv because of pigel. What does this come to exclude? Yatsu parim hanisrafim, usi'irim hanisrafim. Also, what it comes to exclude ultimately again is the parim and the seirim, which ultimately again hoyel she'in al mizbeach achison kishlamin. Also, there is no part of those karbanos that is offered up on the outer mizbeach. Therefore, what ein chayavin alav mishum pigel. Therefore, halacha lemaisa again, they are not subject to the laws of pigel. This is according to Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon expands the limud from shlamim not just to say that just like shlamim has a matir, everything else has a matir, but to teach me that what? That only if it's like shlamim, i.e., that it has part of its avoda on the mizbeach achitzon, then and only then is it subject to the laws of pigel. Therefore, that comes to exclude the parim and sirim hanestrafim, which are both saying are only done on the mizbeach apnimi. The blood is sprinkled up in the Zeach HaPnimi. Therefore, again, they are not such as the laws of Pigel. To which the Gemara says, Amemar, Kiyotei b'shlamim mainihu. We'll say, what are other things that resemble shlamim? What's an example? So now we're saying other things that resemble shlamim and that they're done on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. What's the example of other things which resemble shlamim? Bechar, dinechol l'shnei yamim v'layla echad. So we'll say, ultimately, again, the example would be like a bechar, the bechar offering, because the bechar, like the shlamim, is consumed for 2 days and one night. So the Gemara says, b'mayasi, so how is it learned out? I'll say, if you want to say that it's learned out from mamatzinu, I'll say mamatzinu is like a common denominator. Right? If you want to say it's like from a mamatzinu, ikala mifrach, I can go ahead and what? I can bring up a pircha. And what's the pircha? Man l'shlamim shehen tu'unin smicha unisachim tunufos chazei v'shok. We'll say ultimately again, shlamim is going to be different. Why? Because it has all these other requirements. It has a requirement of smicha. It has a requirement of libations. Tunufas chazei v'shok, the waving of the chest and the thigh. Ella, rather the Gemara says, we learn it out from the pasuk, or from the phrase, me'im he'achol ye'achel. To which the Gemara says, but here's the issue. Hani trei klali dismichi ahadadi. See, I was saying, in that pasuk, you have two general phrases which are right next to each other. The phrase of Ehim Eheachol Yeachel and Mibisar Zevach Shlamov. So the Gemara says, Amarava kida amri v'ma'arava chomakom sha'atamoti shnei klalos hasmuchim zelazeh. Because also you have a general exegetical principle that whenever you have two klavos, whenever you have two general principles that are stated right next to each other, but there's a prat, there's a specific principle stated a little bit later on, hetel prat b'nehem v'donan b'klalu prat. Well, this is an interesting concept. That's whenever in a pasuk you have two klalos, but ultimately, again, a prat, a specific statement later on. See, generally, the way we like to darshan this, how? Klalu pratu klal. That's showing the way that it's written. What happens if you have the two klalos written next to each other and the prat later on? So the Gemara says, Rava quotes over ki de'amri ma'arava, apparently in Eretz Yisrael, they had the Masorah to say as follows, that you could take the prat and you could put it ultimately, again, between the two klalos. Fine. Ad shani marba luk shemesh hamatzora. So once I remember again, the Gemara said before that we're going to say that the laws of pigel apply to every single sacrificial item, even to the point that we get to the luk shemen, till we get to the oil of the matzora. So the Gemara says, "Habmani." About say, whose opinion does this reflect that the laws of pigel are going to apply even to the luk shemen, even to the luk shemen, ultimately of the matzora? To which the Gemara says, Hamani, Rabbi Meir, Tisanya Luk Shem and Shaman Sora Chayavin Alav Mishum Pigul Divi Rabbi Meir. Suppose say this reflects the view of Rabbi Meir. That Rabbi Meir holds Rabbi Meir that even the Luk Shemen, even ultimately again the oil that is used for the Mitzorah, is in fact subject to the laws of Pigul. Well, the Gemara says Emes Seifa, but let's look at the end of that Braisa. Umotzi Ani Minchas Nisochim V'adam. Yet Rabbi Meir, what's excluded from that Braisa? What's excluded from the list of items from Pigul? So as we have Minchas Nisochim, ultimately, again, the mincha brought together with the nesachim, v'adam, and blood. So we'll say, ason rabbanon. Now that seems to reflect the view of the rabbanon, this sanya, because we learned, niske behema, chayavon alav mishum pigul. Ultimately, again, we'll say, the nesachim, the wine libations, brought together with an animal sacrifice, one is chayiv, or they are subject to the laws of pigul. Why? Mepnei shadam hazevach matiron. Because Rabbi said, what ultimately, again, what is the permitter? What is the matir ultimately for the nesachim? It is the blood applications. So I said, the general principle we go with is that anything that has a matir, which means anything that is permitted for consumption, be it human consumption or altar consumption, and it's permitted for consumption by something else, ultimately is subject to the laws of pigul. So the Gemara says, niske behema, ultimately, again, the nesachim, the libations of animal offering, chayav nala mishum pigul. Ultimately, again, I'm searching the laws of pigul. Why is that? Mipnei shadam hazevach matiron. Because the blood of the carbon is the matir. So the matir and the karev is what permits them ultimately to be offered up. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Ultimately, these are the words of Rabbi Meir. Amru lo. So the Rabbanan said to Rabbi Meir, but one second, how can you say that the dam, how can you say the blood applications is the matir for the nesachim? After all, v'halo adam mevi es zavachav hayom, a person could bring his karbanos today, unesachin mikan adasar yomim. And I will say, what could happen? He could bring his wine libations 10 days later. Which is another way of saying what? It's another way of saying that as much as the Nesachim are part of the Karban, we see that there's a concept that the Nesachim can be brought at a later date than the Karban, even though they're all part of the same sacrificial process. So how can you say that the blood is the matir for the Nesachim when the Nesachim themselves could technically be brought at a later date? To which the Gemara says, Amr Lam, to which Rabbi Meir responds, Afani lo amarti, you're right. I only said that the dam is the matir for the nesachim, ela bebaim mazevach, only when the nesachim are brought together with the carbon. Amar Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef said, Hamani, whose opinion does this reflect? Rebbe hi, do amar lug shemen shamatzora matnosav sharule. I'll say ultimately, again, Rebbe holds that when it comes to the lug shemen of the mitzorah, the oil of the mitzorah, so it is matanosav, it is the blood applications, ultimately, again, that permit it. Umid de matanosav sharule, matanosav mefaglile. And I will say the fact that ultimately, again, it's the matanos that are the permitters. Therefore, again, it's also the matanos that have the ability to make it pigul. Disanya, because we learned, lug shemen shamatzora ma'alin bo'at shizrak hadam. So as we learned before, that the lug shemen, the lug of oil of the mitzora, ma'alin bo, is subject to the laws of mi'ila, at shizrak hadam, until the zrik of the blood. Nizrak hadam, once the blood has been applied, lo nanin v'lo ma'alin. Ultimately, again, I will say, you can't get hana, but there's also no prohibition of mi'ila. Rebbe, Omer Rebbe says, no, Molin ad sheite matanosav. Ultimately, it is subject to mi'ila. Until when? Until you do the blood applications. Vishavin, and everyone agrees, sha'aser ba'achila ad sheyitein matan sheva umatan bahonos. Well, then everyone agrees that what? That ultimately, again, it is prohibited from achila, right? You're not permitted to get any kind of achila benefits from the oil. Ad sheyitein matan sheva, until you do the 7 applications, umatan bahonos. And the placement on the thumbs, the big toes, and the earlobe of the mitzora. Amrua Rabbana Kamid Rabbi Yirmiyah. So we'll say the rabbi said this over from Rabbi Yirmiyah, and he said as follows: Amar Gavra Rabba Krav Yosef Lema Kiay Milsa. Is it possible, ultimately, again, that a great man like Rav Yosef would actually make such a statement? We'll say Amad Beis Hare Lug Haba Bifne Atzmo. So ultimately, again, yes, the lug, I will say, has the ability to be brought by Hare lug hababa bifne atzmo, the lechule alma matnosav sharule, Velo mefaklinone. Bossy, take a look at the top Rashi on Mendalad on the base. Habab if neatzmo. Listen to this. Mitzora shehibi ashamo hayom. This is actually a very interesting concept. If the Mitzora brings his asham today, velug velugo laachar asar yamin, and he brings the lug shemen 10 days. Bossy, you understand? 10 days is just an expression for what? For what? Yeah. For some time later on. In other words, he's not bringing the lug shemen together with his asham. Finish that, Rashi. Velugo laachar shemen laachar asar yamin to the choli ama. Matnosav sharina lebachila. Ultimately, again, everyone agrees that the application is ultimately permitted for consumption. The hoil velo kidesh bekli kishen nizrak tama asham lav shirayim didehu. Because they both say, since ultimately, again, since what the lug shemen was not kodesh, because it has not yet been put in a kli sharis at the time that the blood was sprinkled. Lav shirayim didehu. Therefore, again, the lug shemen can't be the shrine of the dam. V'lav shari lei. V'afilu hachi lo mefaglino lei ledivri hakol. Yet, Rabbo said, despite this, everyone agrees that what? That it does not become pigol. De'im bo mishum pigol, kediktani af ani lo amarti. Hilchach boi ma'asham namis. If Rabbo said, even if the blood comes along with the asham, af agav delerevi matanosav shari lei. Even though, according to what we said before, that what? That it's the blood applications that ultimately permit it. Lo mefaglin lei. Ultimately, again, it shouldn't make it into pigol. Why not? Shin mefagel ela dam o komet es shirav. Mishum de iskish mincha lizvachim. Because once at the end of the day, a blood offering, or the komet, only has the ability to make pigol, what we call its shirayim, its leftover items. Obviously, the fact that this can be brought at such a later date obviously indicates that it's not the shirayim of the blood. Both back to the Gemara, to the Choli Amo, Hababifne Atzmo. So let's read that again. Hari Luk Hababifne Atzmo. Both say the Luk Shemen, which can be brought on its own, to the Choli Amo Masnosav Sharule. Everyone agrees that what? That the Matanos ultimately are the permitters. Veloma Faglinale. And ultimately, again, do not become Pigol. Disanyo, Luk Shemen Shalmutzora, Chayav and Alav Mishum Pigol. The Luk Shemen of the Mitzora is subject to the laws of Pigol. Why? Mipnei shadam matiro labanos. Ultimately, again, because it is the blood application that permits it to be applied ultimately again to the mitzora. Divi Rabbi Meir. These are the words of Rabbi Meir. Amru Rabbi Meir. V'halo adam mevi ashamo achshav v'lug mikan va'adasar yamin. But how can you link the blood applications, or how can you link the heter of the blood? The heter of the lug shemen to the blood? And I both say there is the possibility that there could be such a dramatic lapse of time between the two that the blood could be applied on one day and the lug shemen brought days later, to which the Emor Amar Lahem, Afani lo amarti ela beba'i ma'asham. You're right, I only meant it in a situation where ultimately, again, the oil, the lug shemen, is brought together with the asham itself. Ela Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, li'olam Rabbi Meirhi, ultimately, again, says Rabbi Yirmiyah, really, we're reflecting the view of Rabbi Meir. V'sami mikan nesachim. And ultimately, again, take away the case of nesachim. Then it aligns with the view of Rabbi Meir. Amar Abai. Abai says, no. Li'olam lo tisami. Don't take it away. V'tana luk haba'im ha'asham. V'hu adin v'nesachim haba'im im ha'zevach. Ultimately, Abaye says, don't take away this, don't take away that statement, but rather teach it as follows. That when the lug comes together with the asham, so when the lug shemen of the mitzora comes together with the asham mitzora, then enach inami, it's the blood that is the matir, v'adin l'nesachin haba'im imazevach. And the same halacha would apply to any nesachim that come with their karban. When the nesachim comes with the karban, it is the karban that is the matir with the nesachim. If the nesachim doesn't come with the karban, because it could be brought separately, then the karban is not the matir for the nesachim. V'hadr tana nesachim habayim bifnei atzman, v'hu adin leluk haba bifnei atzmo. And I will say then the corollary to that is, that if the Nesachim ultimately come by themselves, or the Lug Shemen comes by itself, then what? Then Halacha L'Maisa, ultimately the Dam is not the method. So we'll say, this is how the Gemara ends off. The Gemara ends off by saying essentially, we do have certain Karbanos, which although they are all part of one Karbanic unit, don't necessarily have to be brought together. What's the example of that? The Lukshemen of the Metzorah and the Nesachim, the general wine libations. So we'll say, what's the status of the Lukshemen of the Metzorah, the wine libations? Well, it depends. If Halacha Lemaisa, again, it's brought together with the actual Karban itself, then ultimately the blood of those Karbanos acts as the Matir, and therefore a subject to Pigul. However, if the Nesachim, or if the Lukshemen is brought separately, then in Achinami, the blood will not act as the Matir. Good. Chatas of Doma Matir. As Bisar Lakanim, so we'll say, watch this. Now we go into another interesting halacha with this. So now the Gemara says, Chata Sa'uf, when it comes to, remember, Chata Sa'uf is the bird offering. So by the Chata Sa'uf, if halacha lemaisa, again, the blood application is the matir. So the Gemara says, remember, we'll say, Chata Sa'uf, we're going to see, is the unique carbon that is slaughtered with malika. Right? There's no official shechita, it's done with malika, with the fingernail of the coin. So now the Mishnah told me, or the Braisa told me, that when it comes to Chata Sa'uf, the blood is the matir. The matir for what? For carbonic consumption. For carbonic consumption. So Nahani Mila, we'll say, where do I know this from? The Tani Levi. Kol Karbanam. We'll say, because the pasuk says, the entire carbon. Lerabos lug shemen shel mitzorah. This comes to include what? The lug shemen of the mitzorah. Sakadaitcha amina. So I might have thought as follows. So we'll say, Gemara's just backing up a little bit over here. This Tani Levi called Karbanam, Lerabos lug shemen shel mitzorah. Sakadaitcha amina. Min ha'ish kazav rachmana. Vahai lav mosem min ha'ishu. So I'll say, ultimately, again, the pasuk says min ha'ish. The pasuk says from the fire. And I might have thought that what? Ultimately, again, this is not a mosem min ha'ish. Kamashlan, that's not the case. We'll say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, l'rabos, l'rabos l'kshem shal mitzorah, shafu ne'achol, sharei karui karban, d'chsiv ve'kriv osol ha'asham, v'eslug ha'ashamen, Amohu nami bichlav vehikriv vahinu carbon koshkim munacha. So we'll say, interesting enough, what the Gemara says over here is as follows: that kol carbon amavosai comes to include even what, even lug shemen shel mitzorah. Because I might have thought that min ha'ish teaches me that what, that dafka, that which is offered up on the fire, is considered to be ultimately kol carbonam. Kamashon, that's not the case. Kamashon, we'll learn that even those things which are not offered up on the fire, like the lug shemen shel mitzorah, is ultimately called karbanam as well, and therefore subject to these halachos as well. L'chol min chasam, we'll say a few more drushes. L'chol min chasam, this we'll say is all the same pasuk. The pasuk we're quoting over here is, v'zeh yelacha mikodesh hakadoshim, min ha'ish, kol karbanam, I'm just reading the pasuk, l'chol min chasam, u'l'chol chatasam, u'l'chol ashamam. So the pasuk then goes on, but we're focusing on this part. L'chol min chasam, we'll say, what does this come to include? L'rabos, minchas omer. We'll say this comes to include the mincha of the omer, the karban mincha. We'll say, now watch this. The Gemara says minchas haknos, and in the parsha Shavuot or past parsha, minchas haknos means the mincha of the sota. We'll say, so the pasuk is coming to include these items as well. If you take a look at Rashi for just a moment, actually not yet, sorry. So minchas haknos, sagadait chamino. Well, we'll say, now, I don't need a pasuk to be married, but these items, I might have thought as follows. Va'achlu osam asher kupar bahem. I might have thought, Rabbi, say, that what does the pasuk say? They will eat it, those to achieve atonement. U'minchas ha'omer, see, we'll say, the minchas omer does not come for kapara purposes. Why does the minchas omer come? Ultimately, again, lahatir. But also remember, the minchas omer comes for what purpose? For the purpose of permitting chadash. It comes to go ahead and permit the new crop. Therefore, again, the Gemara says, So Ashekuba minchas omer lahatir asya. The minchas omer comes ultimately to permit. O minchas knaos. And we'll say, why does the minchas sota come along? Levarer avon. To go ahead and distinguish, or I should say, to clarify guilt. The minchas sota comes to clarify if women committed adultery or not. Therefore, again, I might have thought to both sides that they're not subject to these halachos concerning pigul. Therefore, the Gemara says, Kamashon, that's not the case. Kamashon, Rabbi said that even though they do not come ultimately again to go ahead and for any type of kapara purposes, but nevertheless, they are still subject to these halachos. Ulechol chatasam, and for all of their sins, literally, l'rabos chatasof. Rabbi said this comes to include chatasof as well. What does this mean? Sagadait chamina, Rabbi said, why do I have to include chatasof? Sagadait chamina neveli. So Rabbi said, here's what's interesting. Chatas of Rabbi said, I'm at a thought, it's not subject to any of these halachos. Why? Because maybe it has the status of nevela. Why does it have the status of nevela? Because remember, again, it's not killed by shechita. It's ultimately only killed by the thumbnail of the kohen. So therefore, I might have thought that because it's nevela, it's not subject to any abyss. Kamash bulan, that's not the case. L'chol ashamam. So what says the pasuk says l'chol ashamam. What does that come to include? L'rabos asham nazir va'asham mitzora. What says this comes to include the asham of the nazir and the asham of the mitzora. So the Gemara says. So look, if you look at Rashi points out over here, the Rabbos Asham Nazir, Nazir Shenitma Bemeis, maybe Asham Kishetir Mitumusav, Mitumosav. We'll say, is that she's referring to the specific Asham of a Nazir who becomes Tameh through contact with a corpse? What happens? He brings this Asham when he becomes Tahar, Umachshiro Vahaske Vilimnos Naziros Tara, Vayam Harishonim Yiplu, Ulrabo Shihe Necho. So we'll say the Asham Mitzvah we're talking about over here is the Asham that's brought by the Nazir when he becomes Tameh. Ultimately, again, he brings the Asham. The first set of days falls by the wayside, and he begins observing the Neder Nazirus again. So watch this. So the Pasuk, L'chol Ashamam, the Chol Ashamam comes to include what? Asham Nazir and Asham Mitzora. Sakadait Chanina, I would have thought. Lahach Shir Ka'asu. Since Rabbah say, ultimately again, they're just coming to be Machshir. Ultimately again, they're not included in this halacha. Kamash Molano. Kashan, that's not the case. Asham Mitzora Behejiksid. But Asham Mitzora, Rabbah say, is explicitly stated. So, Ella, the Rabbos Asham Nazir Ka Asham Mitzora. Ultimately says the Gemara, rather, is coming to go ahead and include the Asham Nazir, like the Asham Mitzvah. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Asham Mitzvah Behajik Sibbe Dinecha. We'll say, remember again, we're talking about over here which items are permitted for consumption. So we're pointing out that Halacha Lemaisa again, what's permitted for consumption, what's not permitted for consumption. So Asham Mitzvah is explicitly stated that it's permitted for consumption, to which the Gemara says, you're right, rather we're coming to include Asham Nazir in the license for consumption as well. If you look at Rashi, Asham Mitzvah Behajik Sibbe Dinecha. So we'll say Asham Mitzora is explicitly stated that it's that way it could be consumed. Ki kechata sa Ashamu umiyu nihi da Asham ksiv hachal the seder parashakalas from the arba mataros kuna elakol lama. So therefore, we'll say the Gemara says even though Asham Mitzora is explicitly stated, ultimately again it's really coming to include Asham Nazir, teaching that Asham Nazir is like Asham Mitzora, just as Asham Mitzora can be consumed by the Kohanim, so too can the Asham Nazir. Good. Asher Yashivu. So we'll say we're going to go through some additional drashas over here. So we'll say, just to understand the novelties we're getting at, first of all, we just saw something very fascinating, which is the Chata Sa'ov is permitted for consumption for the Kohanim. What's the novelty in that? We'll say, just by the way, we've transitioned a little bit away from Pigol, thank you. Ultimately, again, to which items are permitted for consumption by the Kohanim. So chief amongst that list is the Chata Sa'ov. The Chatas of Abosai, again, Halacha Lamaisa, I might have thought was an Avela, right? But Halacha Lamaisa, we see that what? Well, technically it is an Avela. But again, the Torah gives the permission for the Kohen to go ahead and consume it because that's the manner of its slaughter. Now, you've also included in that Asham Mitzora, Asham Nazir. Rabbi said the Gemara is going to go through a couple of other interesting halachos. Asher Yashivu. So Abosai, all of this is based on this pasuk in Bamidbar Yudches Tes. Zeyeh lecha mikodesh hakadoshim. We'll say this pasuk includes everything that ultimately, again, becomes the property, or maybe property is the wrong idea, becomes permitted for consumption to the Kohanim. So we're just running through the list of these items. What's next on this list? Asher Yashivu. So we'll say they've gone through this. Zeyeh lecha mikodesh hakadoshim in Aish. Kol karbanam, l'chol minchasam, l'chol chatasam, l'chol ashamam. So we've just now darshan each of those things that are not permitted for the Kohanim. What are we up to now? Asher yashivu. What is asher yashivu? Rabbi said, literally translated, what does that mean? That which will be, I guess literally translation would be, given back. Given back. What does that refer to? Ze gezel hager. We'll say, this refers to theft from a ger. Rabbi said, what's the case of Gezel Hager? If you take a look at Rashi, Asher Yashivu Zeh Gezel Hager, Tchsev Ha'asham HaMushav LaHashem LaKoin. V'tanya, Asham Zeh Karen HaMushav Zeh Chomesh, O'ena Ala Zeh Asham Mamesh Kushu Omer Mavas. Let me tell you this outside a little bit. So if you skip down, actually, in Rashi, a few lines to the wider lines, V'imes No Sin LiYarshav, V'im Gez, we'll say, listen to the following case. I steal from Reuven. I steal from Reuven. What happens? Reuven dies. So we'll say, what do I do if Reuven dies? What's the halacha? I give to Reuven's yarshim. I give to Reuven's inheritors. What happens if the person I stole from is a ger, is a convert? And what happens? Meis ve'in lo yarshim. The ger dies, Rashi says. And what happens? He dies and he has no inheritors. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the only possible case of someone who dies without inheritors is a ger. Because, again, every Jew from birth has some mishpacha. It might be, you know, a 25th cousin twice removed, but everyone has some mishpacha. The only Jew who could die without leaving any potential surviving family is a ger. For example, a simple case. Reuven converted. I stole from him. Reuven doesn't have any children after he converts. So I'm going to say he could die without any mishpacha. Here's the issue. What's the halacha? I stole from him. Now he died. I want to make good on the fact that I stole. What's the problem? There are no family members to return it to. So who do I give it back to? So Rashi says, "V'mhaya geru meis ve'in lo yorshin achziro lahem nasan akasav lakoin." We'll say, who gets it? Who gets it? The Kohen gets it. So we'll say, this special halacha that says, gezel hager, that when there is no one to give it back to, ultimately, again, I give it to the Kohen. U'parshas gezel hager, amru b'parshas naso, im ein la'ishkoa la'hashiv ha'asham, v'chiyesh l'cha adam yisosh ein lo'goel, ela zeh gezel hager. Gezel hager behejek sibbe, lo garsin da'achatos v'asham u'shamos. So fine. So we'll say, so watch this. So the Gemara says, so back to the Gemara. So Asher Yashivu Zeh Gezel Hager. So we'll say, so one of the things we give to the Kohanim is ultimately, again, if the Ger dies without any Jewish family, so then Haloch Lamaisa, we give that which was stolen to the Kohanim. It's interesting, one of the Matnos Kuna. So Lecha, Lechahu, Shelcha Yiyah. So we'll say, so the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Kohanim, this becomes your property. Afilu Lekadosh Boaz HaIsha. We'll say, this is amazing. It's yours to such a degree that what? That you could even use it like Kadesh Ruas Isha. Or as Kohanim, it's yours. Yours to the point, we'll say, sometimes, you know, the greatest demonstration of ownership is, can you use it to go ahead and affect Kiddushin? Brach Fishel, it's a good Sheva Brach Hasvart over here, I think. And you're going to have to tweak it a little bit, but there's got to be something in there. So ultimately, again, the Gevara says that Halacha L'maisa, again, the Gezel Hager becomes the property of the Kohen to the point that it's his, even that he can use it to affect Kiddushin. Tanya, Rabbi Lazar Amishon, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Pigel B'davar Anasa, because we'll say back to Pigel. All right, so the vacation from Pigel is over. Back to Pigel. Right back to Pigel. So Pigel B'davar Anasa, Bechot. So we'll say, listen to this. Rabbi Yossi is going to make a statement here. Baruch Ato Adonai Elohim Malachom Shakom Yeh B'dvaro. So watch this. Pigel B'davar Anasa, Bechot. Now Rabbi Yossi is going to make a statement that we're going to explain it. Pigel B'davar Anasa, Bechot. Sorry, Pigel B'davar Hanasa B'chutz, Pigel B'davar Hanasa B'fnim, Lo Pigel. So we'll say we're going to read the words and we're going to explain it. Literally, if a person commits an act of Pigel with something that is Nasa B'chutz, or Pigel B'davar Hanasa B'fnim, Lo Pigel, doesn't become Pigel. What's the case? Ketzer, we'll say, get ready for this. Hayomi B'chutz, that's a very interesting case. If I was standing outside, and we'll say, outside over here means outside of the Kodesh, I'm standing in the Azar, I'm standing in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. And I say, and we'll say, what do I say? I'm shechting with the intention to sprinkle the blood on the inner mizbeach tomorrow. Which we'll say, so what am I doing over here? I'm having a machshava chutz lizmano. I'm having in mind to sprinkle the blood outside of the prescribed time. But remember, I'm having kavana outside of the Kodesh to do something where? To do something inside the Kodesh. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Lo pigo. That doesn't create pigel. Similarly, why? Shemachshava b'chutz b'davar nasa b'fnim lo pigel. Because we'll say ultimately again, having a machshava b'chutz to do something that has to take place b'fnim does not create pigel. Similarly, hayo omid b'fnim. If I was standing inside the kodesh, va'amar harini maza amanas lahakdir imurim v'lishbok shirayim l'machar, and the Kohen says what? I'm going to apply the blood to the inner mizbeach on the condition that I'm going to burn the limbs or to pour out the leftover blood tomorrow. So we'll say, the Kohen is standing bifnim inside the Kodesh, and he asks Kavana to what? To do something outside of the prescribed time that has to be done bachutz, outside of the Kodesh, Lo pigel. It doesn't create pigel. Why not? Shemachshava b'fnim b'davar na'aseh b'chutz. Because ultimately, again, he has a machshava b'fnim to do something b'chutz. Rabbi say, what Rabbi Elazar, name is Rabbi Yossi, is introducing us to something that's very interesting, which is what? Pigel only works if ultimately, again, your machshava is to do something chutz lizmano in the very same place in which you are having machshava. So Rabbi say, this is going to be an important piece of halacha l'maaseh we're going to emerge from with this sugya. So we'll say, pigul only works. It's not enough to have a machshavas chutz lizmano. You have to have a machshavas chutz lizmano that applies in the very geographic place in which you are currently situated. So if I'm shechting, shechita takes place in the azar, in the courtyard. If I'm shechting, or it can't take place in the courtyard. If I'm shechting chutz lekodesh, and I have in mind to do something chutz lizmano, but it's a process that's going to take place in the kodesh, then what? That does not create pigul. Or if I'm standing in the Kodesh, and I have in mind to do something chutz lizmano, but that something is done outside of the Kodesh, then guess what? That doesn't create pigul either. In other words, to create pigul, Rabosai, one has to have machshava chutz lizmano, but you have to be geographically situated in the very location in which the pigul could come to fruition. But if you are somewhere else, then halacha l'maaseh doesn't create pigul. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, "Avahaya omid b'chutz." But if I was standing b'chutz, so what's the remember again? B'chutz means outside of the Kodesh. I'm standing in the Azara. If I was standing b'chutz, va'omer va'amar, and I said, "Harini shochet lishbok shayin l'machar." I'm shechting on the condition that what? That I'm going to pour out the leftover blood down the drain in the Azara tomorrow. Or lahakdir imur l'machar. Or I'm going to go ahead and burn the leftover limbs tomorrow. Then I will say, "What's the halacha? Pigol? Why?" Because Rabbi say, what happens? I'm having a machshavas pigul about something. I'm standing bachutz, and machshavas pigul is about what? Rabbi say, about what? Something I'm doing bachutz. So if a machshavas pigul, you have machshavas pigul, Rabbi say, and you are in the same geographic area where that machshavas pigul can be carried out, then halacha l'maisa, that is pigul. That is pigul. Ultimately, again, I will say, you have to be, I guess you always know, you have to be in it to win it. Wrong lashon, but you understand. You have to be in the geographic area where the machshavas pigul could come to fruition in order for the carbon to actually become pigul. But if you're standing in one place and you have machshavas pigul for somewhere else, then halacha l'maaseh doesn't become pigul. And I will say, understand, remember our default. When we say it doesn't become pigul, the Rambam already told us, doesn't become pigul, but what? What does it become? Pasul. So that already we saw. Good. On Rav Shimon Levi, Mikra. Rav Shimon Levi says, what's the pasuk that supports Rabbi Elazar's position? Kasher yuram mishar zevach hashlamim. As literally, again, as shall be lifted up from the shar zevach hashlamim. V'chi madla madnu mishar zevach hashlamim. Rabbi Elazar, now what is there to be learned? From the shur, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says Kasher Yuram. We'll say it's about five lines up from the end of Rashi. This pasuk is said by Bar Koin Mashiach. We'll say this is said by the bull, by the power of the by the cow of the Koin Mashiach. So watch this. So the Gemara says, "V'chi malaman mishar zevach hashlamim." What did we learn from this pasuk? Me'ata ela makish Bar Koin Mashiach l'shar zevach hashlamim. The Torah is coming to compare the Bar Koin Mashiach to the shar zevach hashlamim. Mashor is levach hashlamim, atshu masav umachshavosav amizbeach achitzon. So we'll say when it comes to the regular shlamim, so it only creates pigul if what? If the kavanas are for the maisim or the machshavos amizbeach achitzon. Af parakoyin Mashiach atshu machshavosav umasav amizbeach achitzon. Ultimately, again, halacha lemaisa, the parakoyin Mashiach also will only be chayiv if the machshavos and the maisim are on the mizbeach achitzon. I'm about to take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, "Oyer malamadnu mishlom inyanei murim hare af bazeh kulan mefurashim chela v'klayas v'saras ela lo ba hekish zeh el lamid ala pigol shulam b'chol hakadoshim mishlomim ubalalam decho al elu shein pigol noeg ela kishlamim." Mashlamim in pigulon ella al maase avoda chitzonis umachshavas achilas chitzonis shochei to mekabel molech uzorek amras lech obasol lishbok shirayim olahak drei murav chutz lizmano afkan ad sheichashe b'avodas al achilas chutz. So we'll say, so Gemara says this comparison is coming to compare the parakoy Mashiach to the shlamim, just as the shlamim is only chayiv if ultimately again one has machshavas pigul regarding the avodas b'chutz, so too by the card parakoy Mashiach. Amra nachan rab aravua amrav. Halacha k'Rabbi Elazar, sh'amar mishum Rabbi Yossi. I will say, we get to a piece of halacha lemaisa in all of this. What's the piece of halacha lemaisa? Is we paskin like Rabbi Elazar, Yosef, and Bosai, this is indeed how the Rambam paskins as well, which is a very, very, very important qualification in the laws of pigul. One is only able to make a carbon pigul, Bosai, if what? If their machshavas match your geography. Right? Your machshavas, the machshavas pigul, has to align with where you are. If you are standing bachutz and you have machshavas pigul about an avoda that is done bachutz, then you make the carbon pigul. If you are standing bachutz and your machshavas pigul has something done bifnim, then you do not make the carbon pigul. If you're standing bifnim and you have a machshavas pigul about an avoda done bifnim, the carbon is pigul. If you're standing bifnim, but you have machshavas about avoda, about machshavas done bachutz, then what Rabbi is saying, then ultimately again, it is not pigul, but it is puzzle. Rabbi say, by the way, there's an incredible musr in this. What's the incredible musr? Is that to affect change in anything in life, you have to be present. You have to be present. See, Rabbi say, people have wonderful machshavas about a whole variety of different things. If you want to affect change in something, in this case, it's negative change, but it also applies to positive change. You have to be present in the reality. If you're not present, if you're not where you're supposed to be, then by definition, you can't go ahead and affect any kind of change. To affect change in life, you have to be present in your current circumstances. You want to go ahead and, you know, I would say it's true in anything. Person wants to, whatever change you want to affect in life, you have to be present in the circumstances in which you want to affect change. If you are somewhere else, then you could have all the most wonderful machshavas you want. You're not going to affect change at all. Machshavas pigul is only affected, only occurs when ultimately, again, the machshava matches your geographic reality. If you are not where the machshava is supposed to actualize, then you cannot create ultimately pigul. We'll say, now watch this. The next line is going to blow your mind. And it's something that all of us have been thinking from the first day we started Zvachim. So says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Hilchasala Mashicha. We'll say, top of Mem Hei. Rava says, I don't understand. Shkayach halacha lemaisa. You'll excuse me. Who cares? Right? None of this stuff applies to me. Ah, he'll say, so validating. Somebody finally said it. I've been thinking about it, but I didn't want to sound like an apikores. Rabbi says, what are we doing? Why are you spending all this time? None of this is halacha lemaisa. None of this matters to me. Hilchasa lemashicha, big shkoyach, halacha lemaisa. Yeah, right, halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa, where Mashiach comes. So Rabbi says, I don't understand. Why are you spending time telling me that the halacha follows Rabbi Elazar, name Rabbi Yossi? This is not halacha lemaisa now. Hilchasa lemashicha. This is halacha lemaisa Mashiach. Look at Rashi. Halacha lemaisa. Hare kava lanu halacha atzvicha lanu limosa Mashiach. Kishi bane beis hamikdash. Ve'achshav lahu tzrachnu la. Rava says, you'll excuse me. Everybody's getting all excited about a piece of halacha lemaisa. I'm sorry. Mashiach's not here yet. It's not exactly halacha lemaisa. When Mashiach comes, it's going to be halacha lemaisa. And the truth is, the Mashiach's here. He's going to sort out a lot of this stuff. So what is it exactly that we're spending our time on? Who wants to listen to this? This is amazing. Only Abaye. Elam, I should have started with this piece. I know. I should have gone a little bit out of order. It would have given us a little. So we'll listen to this. Elam, so we'll say, this gets even better. Only Abaye. Elam, ata, koshkitas kachim lo listeni. Oh, Abaye says, you're right. We'll say, this is like wildfire now. Abaye says, why are we learning any of this stuff? Yes, 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 Abaye, I'm with you. Right? Mandala, we're 45 blot into this, Rabbi Osai. And let's be honest, this thought crosses our minds every single day. Abaye says, so tell me, Rava, you're telling me we don't need this halacha lemaisa. Abaye says, I don't know, maybe we should learn any of this. Right? Maybe we should just, why don't we shelve these mesachtos until Mashiach comes. When Mashiach comes, he'll give us the bottom line. Why are we spending all of our time? Well, again, maybe we shouldn't learn any of these halachos concerning karbanos, because the truth is they're not halacha lemaisa now. They only apply for the messianic era. And so let's leave it for Mashiach. Hello, Sabai says, okay, calm down. Sabai says, but we do learn it. So why do we learn? Rabbi says it's so beautiful. Ella, drosh v'kabel schar. Hachanami, drosh v'kabel schar. Rabbi says, you want to know the incredible, beautiful privilege we have each and every day? As Rabbi says, you're right. It's not halacha lemaisa now. But the schar we get for learning these sugyas. Ultimately, again, I will say these are Mashiach sugyas. These are based on Mitzvah. Ramashi made a beautiful comment to you last year. You know, I will say every single day we learn these Masechtas. We get to live in the Beis HaMikdash a little bit. You get to live in the Kavanos. And even though, again, sometimes we're not exactly sure what we learned, how we learned, what exactly I emerged from, what can I sink my teeth into, I will say Drosh VeKaboschar. You know, some things we learn in order to know what to do, and some things we learn because it's the Ribbono Shel Olam's Torah. So Abaye says, even though this is Hilchasal Mashicha, this is Mashiach subjects, this is the future, this is Beis HaMikdash, this is Karbanos, Drosh VeKabel Schar. Bosai, we learn it because it's beautiful Torah, and we get schar for each and every word. Hachinami drosh v'kabel schar. So the Rabbi says, Hachi kamina. So I will say, Rabbi kind of backs down a little bit. And he says, no, this is what I mean to say. Hachi kamina l'cha, hilchasa lamali. What Rabbi was saying is, what Rabbi was just saying is, no, I'm not debating that we should learn it. Of course we should learn it. I'm just not sure it's necessary to say, to make definitive statements like, the halacha follows Rabbi Elazar. All Rav is saying is, when it comes to messianically oriented sugyas, like karbonos, I'm not sure that we should be saying that halacha lemaisa, we've paskin like Rabbi Elazar. Since these are matters that are going to come up again when Mashiach comes, he's going to teach us who the halacha actually follows. So Rav says, we may want to avoid definitive statements like, the halacha follows A. The halacha follows Rabbi Elazar when it comes to matters of karbanos. But so listen to this. Beautiful idea. The other possibility is what Rava was saying was follows. Amarlei halacha ka'amina. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Amarlei halacha ka'amina. Hai, demishemna kaviyas halachahu, demishemna demigras ba'inon, de'inon misni mishnayis umachlokes halacha savodo, lefi shetorihi udrosh v'kabal schar. Aval kibua halacha ino ela lahoros halacha lemaisa va'ach shav ino noheg. So ultimately, again, Rav is saying, so all Rav is really arguing on is that, or not arguing, all Rav is making a statement on is, look, I'm not disagreeing that we should learn it. Abaye, I'm on the same page as you are. Drosh v'kabal schar. Drosh v'kabal schar. Absolutely, we should go ahead and learn these things because there's incredible schar in the limud. All I'm saying is that perhaps we may want to ultimately avoid statements of halacha lemaisa, because there's only need to make a statement of halacha lemaisa, we'll say, if what? If we need to act on it. But because we don't need to yet act on it, we may want to avoid statements of halacha lemaisa. Now, I'll show you something very interesting, and with this will end. Take a quick look at Tosfos. This is an amazing Tosfos. You'll look at this more on your own, but Tosfos is intrigued by this, Abosai, because is this then to mean, see, what Rabbi seems to say, Abosai, is that any sugya where essentially Mashiach is going to be the machria, where Mashiach is going to be the posek, maybe we don't have to figure out, or maybe we don't have to spend too much time discussing. Meaning, I'm all for drosh ukabel schar, right? Rav said, this, by the way, this is the best deal in the world. The best deal in the world, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us, essentially learn it, don't worry about the bottom line, you don't have to worry about the conclusion, because Mashiach holds down the conclusion. What's my job, I will say? My job is to just learn the words. That's my job. And I get an incredible amount of schar just for simply going in and learning the words, even if I don't know who the halacha follows. So Tosfos says, well, are you telling me then that essentially any messianic topic or any particular topic that is decided by the Melech HaMashiach, perhaps we don't need to spend time focusing on too much halacha l'maisa? So Tosfos brings us something very interesting. He says, Hukhasa l'mashicha, ki ay gavna parch b'reish talad miso. So tema. Let's say, get ready for this, and then we'll stop. Dibereish asar yuchsin. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav. Yerachmiel, just do me a favor. If you're going out, just tell them in the shul that they're davening in here. He said, Dibereish asar yuchsin. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav. Halacha k'Rabbi Yosi. But we'll say, this is why, then I'm really going to let you go, I promise. It's just very exciting. So we'll say, so watch this. In the beginning of Maseches Kiddushin, so the Gemara says that Halacha follows Rabbi Yosi. What does Rabbi Yosi say? Da'asidin mamzerin litaher. We'll say that when in the Messianic era, some mamzerim will be purified, which also means they will be purged or they will be cleansed of their mamzerus status. So we'll say, now that is a Messianic era thing. One of the things that Mashiach is going to do is he's going to straighten out yichus. There are kohanim who are not really kohanim. There are people, Yisraelim, who are kohanim, Levim. Everybody, we, as a result of 2,000 years, so our yichus tends to get a little bit mixed up. So one of the things that Mashiach is going to do is going to be mitired the mamzerim. that those who are mamzerim will say, I don't mean like that guy's a mamzer. I mean like real mamzerus, like real mam people who are real mamzerim. And I don't mean that guy who's a real mamzer. I mean like genealogical mamzerim. So Mashiach is going to straighten all of that out. So Tosfos says, I don't understand. If you're telling me Hukos al Mashicha, so Rav is essentially saying that any time you have a sugya, that's what? That Halacha L'Maisa, Mashiach is going to decide, we really shouldn't make declarative statements like, the Halacha follows X. That's not really fair, Rabbi Osai, because at the end of the day, if there are Mashiach discussions, then it's Mashiach who ultimately gets to rule who the halacha follows. But yet we see this by Asariyuk, we see this in Kiddushin, that the Pasak Rabbi Yossi, that Mashiach is going to be Metaher the Mamzerim. So why make a declarative halacha lamaisa statement in a sugya where ultimately deals with Mashiach? So we'll say, watch this, and with this we'll end. V'shamanaf gamina achshav shol harchik mishpachos she'inon yiduos. We'll say, listen to this. This is actually quite interesting. That has a halacha l'maisa present day application. Why? Because I will say, if we know that somebody is the potential of really being a genealogical mamzer, so I say, I might have thought that it's my obligation to distance that person from the fold. Now that I know that halacha l'maisa, Mashiach is going to purify that particular individual, therefore what? Therefore it's quite possible that halacha l'maisa, we should keep that person close. But my plea, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbanim, b'mamzer yodua, o b'she'en yodua, perakam diyum, in the pasuk, Rabbi Yossi, rishon choz la'avodah, so we'll say, so again, such a beautiful idea in Tosfos. Even though, that is a Mashiach topic. And according to Rabbi, we don't rule on Mashiach topics, hilchus ala Mashiach. It could be that by mamzerus, the reason we pass like Rabbi Yossi, that Mashiach is going to be the tire of the mamzerim, is to teach us, Rabbi Yossi, that even those people who we know who have genealogical blemishes, don't push them away. Keep them close, because when Mashiach comes ultimately again, he will be matar those mishpachos as well. I think we'll stop over here. Just a reminder again that tomorrow is a Sunday schedule.
Yeah, I was thinking another obvious answer.